translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The actual form of life for the living entities is one of spiritual happiness, which is the real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all material activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I have ceased from all material activities, and I am lying down here. The difference between the philosophy of the Mayavadis and that of the Vaishnavas is explained herein. Both the Mayavadis and Vaishnavas know that the materialistic activities there is no happiness. The Mayavadi philosophers, therefore, adhering to the slogan Brahma Satyam Jagam Mityur, want to refrain from false materialistic activities. They want to stop all activities and merge into the Supreme Brahman. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, if one simply ceases from materialistic activities, one cannot remain inactive for very long. Therefore, one should engage himself in spiritual activities, which will solve the problem of suffering in this material world. It is said, therefore, that although the Mayavadi philosophers strive to refrain from material activities and merge into Brahman, and although they may actually merge into their Brahmana existence, for want of activity they fall down again into the materialistic activity. Yutraya chitraina param param tata parantiti ada. Thus, the so-called renouncer, unable to remain in the meditation upon Brahman, returns to the materialistic activities by opening hospitals and schools and so on, and therefore simply by cultivating that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness. Cultivating knowledge that material activities cannot give one happiness, that one should consequently cease from all such activities, is insufficient. One should cease from materialistic activities and take up spiritual activities. Then the solution to the problem will be achieved. Spiritual activities are activities performed according to the order of Krishna, anakulyena Krishna-shilanam. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. For example, when Arjuna fought in response to the order of Krishna, his activities were not material. Fighting for sense gratification is a materialistic activity, but fighting by the order of Krishna is spiritual. By spiritual activities, one becomes legible to go back home, back to Godhead, and enjoy blissful life eternally. Here in the material world, everything is but a mental concoction that will never give us real happiness. The practical solution, therefore, is to cease from material activities and engage in spiritual activities. Yagyata kamanu nayatra loka yam karma bandana. If one works for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Lord, Yajna or Vishnu, one is in liberated life. If one fails to do so, however, he remains in a life of bondage. So, this verse is, of course, is carry on with the conversation between the saintly person lying down as a snake and Prahlad Maharaj. So it's describing, actually, in the beginning, it seems there's not much difference between the Mayavadi philosophy, or philosophy, and Vaishnava philosophy, because we both realize that most activities don't bring happiness. But, of course, one has to engage this material senses, a material body, in devotional service. And, of course, the Mayavadis, their goal is to merge into the bodily effulgence of Krishna. And where there's no actually activities there. So they have to return again back to this material world. But devotees, Vaishnavas, their activities in are not actually, as Prabhupada says, are not material. It is actually devotional service. Which it says here, there is a very famous verse from the Bhakti Rasa Sindhu. Anukulyena Krishna Shilanam. This is actually one line from 1.1.11. Now, this is a very significant verse because it explained in one class by, I think it's Hanuman Prakash Maharaj, that this verse is actually the sutra of the whole of the Bhakti Rasa Sindhu. Because all other verses and commentaries by Rupa Goswami are based on this verse. And this, just these two words, means serving Krishna favorably. So, this is actual devotional service. Actually, serving Krishna without any material gain or profit through karma, you know, through knowledge, karma, or speculation. This is actual real bhakti or para bhakti. Now, of course, that whole book of the Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasa Sindhu is it's a very important book, because generally we read it on the, it's one of the four books you have to study on the Bhakti Sastri course. Now, I read a little section from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on Shrimad-Bhagavatam 1.2.33 in Vrindavan, 12th of November 1972. This is called Going Beyond Apprenticeship. The more you engage in devotional service, the more your senses will become pure or uncovered. And when they are completely uncovered, without any destinations, then you are capable of serving Krishna. Vaividhi bhakti is apprenticeship. Real bhakti, para bhakti, is Raghunuga Bhakti. After surpassing Vaividhi Bhakti, we have to come to Raghunuga Bhakti. in the material world, if we do not make any further progress in devotional service, if we are simply sticking to the sastric regulation process and try not to go beyond that, we remain kanista adhikaris. The sastric process of regulation is required. I say required because we cannot jump over the process. We cannot jump over any part of the process. Without the sastric process, you cannot go to that platform. But if we only stick to the sastric process and try not to improve ourselves, we remain kanista adhikaris. The sastric process is kanista adhikari, the lowest stage of devotional service. So that, of course, we know that verse from devotional service actually begins with hearing and chanting. This is the beginning of devotional service. But because we're not on that level, we have to engage the body and mind in so-called materialistic activities. And even just sitting here, listening to Bhagavatam, is actually devotional service. This is why when I was at last year I went to one temple, I forget now what it is now, Govinda Maharaj's temple where Gopal is. Gopalju temple one day. The class is morning class is 2.5 hours every day. And everybody, temple devotees, they have to be there and listen. And then at 11 o'clock, 10:30, breakfast is served. And then, of course, other activities go on, bhajari service, making garlands, etc. like this. But the main service is listening to the glories of the Bhagavatam. Why do we listen to the glories of the Bhagavatam? Because this is from the this is from the Chaitanya. This is some verses from the Chaitanya and Chandrarita about the glories of the Bhagavatam. The Shambhagavatam is full of Krishna prema. It is non-different from the beautiful body of Krishna and a part of Krishna himself. Describes Krishna's confidential pastimes. And then there's the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchalila 3.509. Since the Shambhagavatam speaks exclusively of the truths of pure devotional service, it is unparalleled among the sastra. No other scripture can compare with the Shambhagavatam. Then again, Chaitanya Bhagavat Anchalila 3.506. In the beginning, middle, and end, the Shambhagavatam speaks only of devotional service to Krishna. As such, this literature is eternally perfect, infallible, and infinite. because it contains all the truths pertaining to the infinite. Now, what is the truth? This is a sloka. It's from the CC, but I didn't put the reference down. It's sloka goes Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara, bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva, ara. A translation by Srila Prabhupada is Krishna consciousness means to understand the truth of Krishna, the truth of devotional service, the truth of Godhead, the truth of emotional ecstasy, the truth of transcendental mellows, and the truth of Krishna's pastimes. Now, of course, as I said earlier, the devotional starts by hearing and chanting. So this means kirtan or japa. But to understand this actual philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we have to understand the three basic tattvas that Bhagavan Thakur mentions in Jiva Dharma, which is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And he writes, if nobody understands these three basic tattvas, these truths, then one will not understand the actual philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And this is backed up by the Sastra here, yeah, somewhere. I can find it. I can't find it at the moment, but it describes how the three basic tattvas, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, if one understands these three tattvas, then one understands the whole of the Vedic literature. And, of course, Lord Caitanya, he came. He came in the form of in the mood and in the form of Radharani, and where is it now? Is that it just now? Oh, here's that verse from it's Majalila 6:178. Bhagavanda Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya Haya Prema Projana Veda Tina Vastukaya. The Supreme Person and Godhead of Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of the relationship, Sambandha. Acting in devotional service to him is one realizes his occupation, Abhideya, and the attainment of love of Godhead, Prayojana, his dominant goal of life. These are the three subject matters described in the Vedic literature. So then, as I heard read earlier, we have to, in the beginning of our purification, we have to come, we start with Vavidhi Bhakti, following rules and regulations. But as Srila Prabhupada said in that lecture, that I just read an excerpt from, we have to progress to Raghunuga Bhakti. Now, Raghunuga Bhakti, generally, as I heard from Indra Babu the other day, one of his lectures, is actually misunderstood, or the word is actually misunderstood. It simply means attraction to Krishna. And what you do, once you're attracted to Krishna and his holy name, things just become spontaneous. Say, for instance, I'll give you an example of this one example of, must have been about 15 years ago now, when Radha Mohan, who at that time was, Richard, yeah. He was, for some reason, he must have been late or got up late, and he was doing japa around the building. And he was just sublimating during his japa. And now Shiva Maharaj was on Prabhupada's balcony doing his puja to, I forget now who was worshipping at that time. And then he finished his puja, and then he was just sitting back or sitting down, and he saw Radha Mohan walking around. And he noticed Radha Mohan saw one piece of litter on the floor in the square there, in the circle, just one piece of paper. And he picked it up and he put it in the bin. And then he carried on. You know, to us, picking up a piece of paper to put in the bin is nothing. It's just insignificant. And so then he carried on. And then Abhimanyu Prabhu, who was serving Shiva Maharaj at the time, he came running behind him. And he stopped Radhaman and said, "Why did you pick that piece of paper up?" Shiva Maharaj, he wants to know. So he said, Radha Mohan, he replied, he says, "This is Krishna's property. There should be not one piece of litter on Krishna's property." And then Abhimanyu Prabhu went off in another direction, and then Radha Mohan Prabhu carried on. Then again, as he's walking around, Abhimanyu appeared with a plate of Marbishadam from Shiva Maharaj's deities. He said, "Shiva Maharaj," he said, he's very pleased with your service. He says, "You were acting you're acting spontaneously. So we could be performing Raghunuga Bhakti without even realizing it. If we do it, the devotional service is spontaneously, without any thought of material profit or gain from it. Now, if it's mixed, any material gain or profit from it, it is karma mishra bhakti. It's mixed with karma, and of course it's gana mishra bhakti as well, that makes it mixed with knowledge. Or so we have to come to the level of pure devotional service, and now pure devotional service, as I mentioned, is a high thing, but we have to come to that level if we want to actually generally, if you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, chanting the Maha Mantra is also devotional service. But it's explained nicely by Ayendra Prabhu and of course in Srila Prabhupada's books and the books of the Goswamis, they explain very nicely about the three levels of chanting. Of course, there's Namaparad, Namabhas, and Prema Bhakti, Sudha Bhakti. And it shows you the power of the holy name. Again, it's from the CC. Tanya Bhagavat, I forget now. But this is actually shows you the power of the holy name. Satya Yuga Sata Sata Yagyain Hari Hari Archana Kaleka Govinda Nama Se Pala Arjana. The result received in Satya Yuga by meditation through great sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by performing Archana of Bhagavan according to the proper rules, is obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting Namabhas, the semblance of the holy name. So it's important that we actually come to the level of Namabhas as soon as possible, just like Arjamil did. Now Arjamil is an example of Namabhas. He was actually chanting the name of Narayan, but he wasn't chanting to clear his offenses. He was chanting the name of Narayan, his son, because it's explained in the pastimes that Narayan used to serve his father. He would say, Narayan, bring me this. Narayan, bring me that. Narayan, bring me this. So then his son Narayan would bring him. So when he was on his deathbed and he saw, of course, the Yamadutas, immediately he called for his son Narayan. So this is Namabhas. He wasn't committing any offences. And because of that, we know the Vishnu Dutas appeared, and he came back, and he got extra life. He got some extra years to live, and then he went to Hardwar, and where he took the association of devotees, and then later he went back to Godhead. So this shows the power of the holy name, even if one is chanting Namabhas. Now also Bhagavan Thakur, he explains again in Jiva Dharma. One who is chanting Namabhas is Vaishnava Bhas. And later also explains, if we're actually Vaishnava Bhas, our service is actually resemblance of devotional service also. And so therefore, somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru Angaranga, we can come to the level of pure devotional service, which I said earlier, it just means attraction for Krishna. And when something has attraction for somebody or something, generally, we do it spontaneously. It's like if someone says to us, can you do this? Can you do that? Please. And if you like doing it, immediately you'll do it. There's no question. You know, like, can you Say, for instance, can you do the transfer in the Bajari room there? And then the Gadadar might say, if you do that, you know, you can take a little bit of Mahabishad yourself. So then, because you've got attraction for Mahabishadam, you'll do it. No question about it. No question. So this is what Raghunath Bhakti is. It's not such a complicated and high thing in one sense. Now, Lord Titania, I don't apologize because was staying in Mayapur for 4 years, one of my greatest realizations was actually the mercy of Lord Titania. And find this verse. And one cannot separate Lord Titania from Krishna. It's described as one verse in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 32, describes how Krishna comes in the complexion of Radharani, and he is chanting the syllables Kukra and Nish, Krishna. And he will perform Sankirtan. Now, found it. Now, in the different scriptures, it is describing how Mahaprabhu and Navadvipa Dham are non-different from Vrindavan. In fact, it says in one of the Samhitas, where Parvati, she's asking Lord Shiva, who created Navadvipa Dham? And Lord Shiva says, Radharani created Navadvipa Dham. And then he explains that anyone who sees Mayapur Dham and Vrindavan Dham different, I will fire my sharp arrows at them eternally. So we have to be very careful not to make sure we don't see any difference between Mayapur Dham and Vrindavan Dham. Now, actually, Navadvip is the place in Kali Yuga. Now, there's different verses here describing how Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. So I'll just read some of them. Yeah, but if one goes to and resides in Navadvipa and takes shelter of the Lord, of the name of Lord Gauranga, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then one's offences will be finished, and one will become quickly qualified to understand the mellows of love of Radha and Krishna, because Navadvipa is non-different from Vrindavan. when Vrindavan arises in the heart while residing in Navadvipa, then and only, I point this out, then and only one can actually take shelter of Vrindavan. Only by the causeless mercy of Navadvipa, a sincere devotee can achieve the shelter of Vrindavan without much delay or effort. Navadvipa is actually Vrindavan manifested in the land of Bengal. Lord Caitanya, the son of Sajimata, is Lord Krishna, the greatest hero, the son of Braja's king, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Accepting the complexion of Srimati Radharani, Lord Gauranga performs pastimes in Navadvipa, which are very rarely manifested, even in Vrindavan. Now this is confirmed by Bhagavan Thakur in the Navadvipa Mahatma, where Lord Nityananda is taking Jiva Goswami around on the Parakrama. And at one point, Lord Nityananda, he makes a statement that the pastimes of they come to one place in one island, and Lord Nityananda makes a statement that the pastimes of, he says, now here Lord Gauranga did this pastime here. And Lushanan then continues, he says, the pastimes of Lord Gauranga are even higher than the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So you can check, if you read Navadvipa Mahatma, you can check it out. And so this is also confirmed here at the end, which is rarely, rarely manifested. Even Gauranga performs pastimes in Navadvipa, which are rarely manifested even in Vrindavan. Now, of course, to see even the pastimes of Radha, or the pastimes actually, to see Krishna is not an easy thing. In fact, it's very difficult to see Krishna, because Krishna is very, very crooked. He's bent in three places. So how can you... So he's a very tricky fellow, Krishna. But Mahaprabhu, he's very straight. He stands straight. He's very straightforward. He's very straight. But Krishna is very, very tricky fellow to understand. But as he comes to Mahaprabhu, he's very straight, as we know. Straight physically and straight in the actual philosophy as well. As we know, when he... forbid Chota Haridas for coming. He forbid Chota Haridas, and he said, I never want to see him again. So this is how straight he is. Now Krishna is very crooked. He's a bit slippery sometimes. He says things and then he does the opposite. So it's not easy to understand Krishna. But by the mercy of Lord Caitanya, we can understand Krishna. And we can see Krishna through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's a little pastime, I'm sure we all know it. When Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, he was doing the Brajamandal Parakram. And Prabhupada was there as a householder, if I remember rightly. So then he was giving, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur was giving was giving the Shambhavanatam class in the evening. So the disciples were gathered around. And then, I don't know how many it was, but some of his disciples, they came walking in halfway, or some at some point of the lecture. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saritakur, he said, "So, where have you been?" He said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, we have been the local temples to take darshan of the deities." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saritakur, he said, "All you have done is just exercise for the eyes. If you want to see Krishna, one sees him through the pages of the Bhagavatam. This is how to see Krishna. Of course, our eyes have to be anointed with the ointment of love to see this, of course." So of course, you know, here we should not think, you know, we're here in front of Radha Kulwanda Sitaramas Hanuman. We should not think they're just marble statues. No, they're actually Krishna themselves, Ram himself, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda themselves. They're actually there. But they've come in a form. So actually Krishna can see us. Because actually darshan means Krishna is seeing us. This is explained by Jani Vas Prabhu in Mayapur. When you come to the darshanati, they open the curtains, Krishna's looking out at us to see who's there and who's not there. So this is why Krishna comes in his deity form, and of course to be worshipped and to get to be offered something to eat, some bhoga, which turns into prasadam, of course, mahaprasadam, of course. But the point I'm trying to make, we cannot see Krishna very easily. We have to have the mercy of a prema devotee who's a uttama bhakta, who can see Krishna and take his association. And of course that is generally is, this is why we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, who's actually the perfect example of bhakti, because he came to show by example. Because Krishna, he said in his Goloka Vrindavan, he said after he finished his Kurukshetra Leela, he said, "I have performed my Kurukshetra Leela. Now I am here, but the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, they do not know anything about devotional service. They do not know anything. And I have kept this prema to myself. So I have to go down, descend to give this prema freely." And so this is one of my favorite verses, which actually describes why Lord Chaitanya came down. I'll just read it's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 440. "Thus Mahaprabhu spread kirtan even amongst the untouchables. He wore a wreath of the holy name and prema, in which he garlanded the entire material world." So, of course, we know this. We see this garland here. It's made of flowers and a piece of thread, nylon thread, that's what it is. So this garland that Lord Chaitanya has garlanded the whole material world, course, the flowers are just like the name, the holy name. And the word, I think, in Sanskrit for this is the sutra, which is prema. So he put both together, and he garlanded the whole entire material world. So the question is, we can ask ourselves, all right, Mahaprabhu has come and garlanded, and he didn't the entire world, but are we wearing that garland? I'm wearing this garland now, but are we wearing this garland of holy name and prema? This is the question I have to ask myself, and we should all ask ourselves this question. And if we're not, if we think we're not, then something is wrong. And so therefore we have to try to rectify it.